Squad 2. And we're going to announce those at this time. And Tom Crager was dead on it of the D&J. Siegel will indeed be hosting Oakland. Siegel 10-0, Oakland 6-4. Blackman will be traveling to Cookeville. Blackman 7-3, Cookeville 5-5. And Riverdale will be going to Cane Ridge. Riverdale at 7-3, Cane Ridge at 8-2. And then finally, in that quad two, McMinn County will be hosting Bradley Central. And that is official off the TSSAA website. And those are our pairings. So if you're listening out there, we will repeat those also during Cougar Corner. And if we get an opportunity, we may have Tom come on and discuss that a little bit. But first things first, Dan Stevens, Laverne Wolverines in the house with us. A loss to Blackman last night, Coach. They ran the ball. They do have a core and a good offensive line.
Yeah, they do, and you know, they did really well. I think they started a little slower than they expected this year, but they finished strong. Very deep team, very deep. We got to see some of that depth last night. Unfortunately, we came out trying to do some different things, give ourselves a chance to win. Didn't work out very well for us last night, but proud of our kids' effort to finish out the season. You know, and once again, it's just a, we have to keep building and keep working and keep dialing in different things just to see if we can come up with that formula to get us where we want to be, which is definitely with the Murfreesboro schools in the playoffs.
A strange season, really. I mean, I know you're disappointed in some things, but you did have some high spots.
Well, there were.
And that's what makes it so strange, I think.
There were. The expectations were really big this year. I think we expected to come out of the gate fast and start fast, and we didn't do that. We kind of stumbled out of the gate, started out slowly, played two really good teams, two playoff teams out of the gate, and didn't have the success against those teams that we would have thought, winning at half and then losing both of those games, and we were able to find a formula, knock off Oakland. You know, we thought we had a good chance at Smyrna, and, you know, some mistakes on our part cost us that game. So, you know, it was one of those things where if we had had better success in the beginning part of the season, we could be having a totally different conversation right now.
Coach, we have talked about that start. What, I don't know how you prevent that from, you know, sometimes it just, it's like Blackman was 3-3 and they won like four straight.
Right.
You know, and you never did really kind of get on a roll, did you? I mean, either way, it was just like
No.
You win a game and then couldn't come back with that second win.
Yeah, we couldn't. But I tell you this, our problem all season, and it plagued us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, was stopping people from running the ball consistently. And we did a poor job of that all year. And just to be quite honest with you, we might have to adjust our scheme some. I don't know if we ever really put our kids in a great position to stop the run with what we had. Sometimes you offensively, I thought we had a decent formula, but if you can't run the ball, then usually that'll stall out everything else that you. I mean, if you can't stop the run, it'll usually stall out everything else you try to do. Because when a team can run it, it makes it kind of easy to call plays when all you just call a, you know, some kind of inside counter, some kind of inside power play. If you run a little bit of option and you've got a good dive fullback, when you can call those are safety plays. And when you can call those plays regularly and you're getting 5, 7, 8 yards, it makes it hard for the other team to really do anything. And we were the other team. And we made it hard on ourselves because we couldn't stop people from running the football in between.
It affects all aspects. It affects what you do offensively.
Yes.
Because you're either probably in a hole or time of possession, all those kind of things.
And you're getting beat up physically, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, it's a mindset. If people are running it down your throat, so to speak, it kind of wears on your kids a little bit. And, you know, I think as the season progressed, it got in all our heads that, you know, why can't we stop the run? And so that's one of the things we'll go into the offseason looking to fix, come up with a better scheme. And it's a technical part, not switching from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 defense. It's what are we doing technique-wise? What are we doing fundamental-wise that we didn't give our kids a chance to be successful, and that's what we got to fix.
Stan Stevens, our guest on the Prentice Office of Heating and Air Coach's Corner. And, Coach, you've talked about for many, the last couple of years, and you're a big proponent for the weight room. And tell me what you will tell your kids or have already told your kids. This, what do we have to do to be prepared for 2013?
They got to care in January and February. It's got to mean as much to them. And I've been telling them, guys, we play on Friday night. Our expectations on Friday night are to win. And you guys come in, y'all want to win. You're working to that end. But we have to work with that same kind of intensity and that same kind of passion in January and February. I think sometimes in January and February, everybody takes that deep breath and relaxes. We're not to the level where we can relax. Well, we can relax in January and February. We have to really keep that intensity up, and that's hard to do over those long winter months. But I think, you know, we have to develop that some kind of way, that intensity and that passion for the game in January, and we can't wait till it's June and July to say, hey, the season's right around the corner. We got to really prepare. We have to start our preparation a lot sooner.
The highs this year, we had win with Shelbyville and you defeated Oakland, and that was a feat in itself in mm-hmm. terms of that you kind of got a monkey off your back about district play, you know,
right,
and
right,
that kind of
right.
thing. So I know you're proud of them there, and It's been an interesting year, the entire district, hasn't it, really? I mean, there's been some games that people have kind of, you know, looked at, wow, they played pretty well. Smyrna got better,
mm-hmm.
you know. Blackman got better.
Yes.
You seem to catch them when they at their best in terms of health and that kind of thing.
Well, just to be honest, if you can't stop the run, you're going to have a hard time winning in our district, because people are going to be able to run the football. And so, you know, we were at a disadvantage going into most of our games with just stopping the run. As well as Siegel throws the football, they really hurt us running it. And that made it easier for them to do. If you can run the football, you know, you run it to set up the pass, that's old school football. You run the football, you'll be able to throw it, because they're going to have to do things to stop you from running it that allow you to throw it. Fortunately for us, our secondary was our strength, but we put them time and time again in one-on-one situations, no help over the top, no help inside, and those guys are having to just
they wind play. Up making tackles.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They probably, our free safety was our leading tackler, and that's never a good sign
yeah.
when your free safety, leading tackler, probably had more calls, fumbles, interceptions. I mean, our free safety was our defense, and, you know, you'd like to have a good free safety, but if he's that good,
yeah,
you've got
yeah.
problems.
You want him to make tackles, but maybe, you know, 20 yards down the field.
Right,
maybe
right. And that's
trying to recover somebody.
Right, and that's only two or three a game. You only want him to make a couple of tackles a game where he saves a touchdown. You don't want him to have to be one of your best linebackers and your best defensive backs all at the same time.
And I know, as good a coach as you are, you probably had some concerns with stopping the run when the season started. But did you think it would be as bad in
no.
terms of that?
No. You know, you go in and you have a high belief. When I look at my kids and I tell them all the time, when I see you guys, I see the best in you. And sometimes I overlook your faults and I don't see. I know you get those. You get to put blinders on and say, all I see is this kid playing at a high level every Friday night, and you don't want to take into account, well, he's a little bit undersized.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably not as strong as we'd like him to be. And you go into battle with the kid, and you believe in him, and you try to get the kid to believe in himself. But sometimes, you know, the bigger, stronger guy wins.
It's a battle of the weight room, I guess, too, and then that makes it even harder to get them to commit. And you talked about that, committing to January and February, and that's what you'll be looking for, though, isn't it?
That's absolute. I mean, we're going to go in with the mentality of, guys, we're going to trim it down to as basic as we can So all you have to do is focus on a few things, and we have to get really good at a few things and maintain that momentum and that drive all the way through the winter months and make it into spring where the natural intensity picks up just because, hey, it's spring practice. We got the pads back on. What we do between January and the end of April is going to be extremely important as to how good we can be next season.
And not always coach-directed, too. They need to do that a lot of that on their own, too, don't they? I mean, that's hard with a kid that's 16, 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, they need to come together. But part of that is, too, is us showing them, hey, look, these are the building blocks. And some of it starts with us, but some of it starts with you. And we need you guys to come together and just really challenge each other and say, we're going to hold each other accountable for coming in January and February, not just showing up, which they'll do, but showing up with the right mentality and the right amount of intensity to we're working to get better every day.
Well, I know if anybody can take on that challenge, that would be you, Coach. It's been, I guess, the 11 o'clock time is not the best time in the world. For a coach, but you've been every time the best interview that you can possibly imagine at 11 o'clock in the morning after a game on Friday night. I know you probably at this point are looking forward to next year, but you did have positives. I want you to kind of, if you would, kind of wrap up, sum up the season for me in terms of some people maybe you want to thank, and because I know your coaches are second to none. And,
right. Well,
and
the first, it starts with our administration and Coach Ash and Coach Jeremy Moore, our AD, our athletic director. Those guys have really done a great job in giving me the things that I need to try to move this program forward. I think our facilities, our fields, our stadium, really looks nice, and that's just a testament to what we're trying to do at Laverne High School and at the direction of our principal, Coach Ash. You know, it comes from the top all the way down. I've got a dedicated group of coaches who come and work, and they do the work on Saturday and Sunday. So then when we show up for our meeting Sunday evenings, those guys are prepared. They sacrifice a lot of time from their families. I've got young coaches that are learning how to coach, and they work at it, and that's really good. I didn't feel like I had to do everything this season. I didn't feel like everything was falling on my shoulders. I thought those guys did a good job of shouldering their part of the load, and you know, it the season was long, but it's one that I'm kind of a little bit down because I wanted to keep going. I'm not done. I don't feel like I'm done coaching this year, even though we are. There's still some gas left in the tank, so to speak. I think our kids feel the same way. You know, we just have to find that formula, I think, find that formula in January and February, you know, and we had some bright spots throughout the season. I talked about my safety, Antonio Coward. I thought he had a fabulous year. Daryl James, our running backs, Willie Cowan. I thought those guys did a great job this year. J.J. Horner, who's coming back, and C.J. Four, our quarterback, is coming back. Feel really good about those guys. And you know, we had some guys step up. I had a center, undersized guy that you would probably look at and say, he's your starting center. He started, I guess, about the last six games. And he's a fighter. He's a guy that goes out there and scratches and claws. And he's a little bit undersized. He's a little bit under strength. But his heart is as big as anybody that we played against, and it's guys like that coming back that I feel really good about. You know, we did fairly well with our freshmen this year. We were extremely competitive with those guys. Our JV team was extremely competitive this year. Both of them had better records than we did on the varsity level. So we're building it from the bottom up. We just have to translate that freshman JV success into varsity success, and that's what we'll be working on.
A lot of people working together, isn't it, for one goal?
Absolutely, that's what it takes around here, because you've got programs that were built correctly from the bottom to the top, and the only way you can compete against them is to do the same.
Well, we want to take one quick mention about our quad and where we're standing. I'd say our district about has got as good a shot as anybody, doesn't it?
Well, you know, the only problem is, as you look at it, we're going to beat each other up
That's
again.
That's exactly right.
It's like it's like part two. You beat each other up during the season, then they jam you all up in the playoffs and let you fight it out again. And you know, you would like to see a little bit more of a spread,
right,
to where, you know, we're not beating each other up again. But, you know, the playoff system and the way they do it, it is what it is.
Well, Coach Stanton Stevens has been our guest, and we appreciate you coming each and every Saturday, and really good luck next year. And I know you've got that program in the right direction, and I can, talking about the overall picture, it looks bright at Laverne. So everybody should be excited, really.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you guys having me. You know, we always like talking about Laverne football, and we do think we're going in the right direction, and we're appreciative of all the accolades that we get. So thank you very much.
We may have you on as a guest. I may call you to come down on a Monday and talk a little football.
Just give me a call.
General, no Laverne football, just
right.
Football everywhere.
I'll be looking for something to do. So give me a call.
Stan Stevens, the head coach of the Laverne Wolverines, and we're going to miss him in the next 3 or 4 weeks. But we will carry on as this is going to be it for the Prentice Salsa Peaking Area Coach's Corner. And, Coach, it happens to everybody. Everybody eventually can't stay for – there's only one that can stay for the final football show.
You're right about
so
that.
So they start going down after this. But anyway, we appreciate you, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Stan Stevens. That's going to do it for the Prentice Salsa Peaking Area Coach's Corner. Up next, it's Cougar Corner right here from Cedar Bucket Restaurant. Coach Brian Stewart will be here to talk Cougar football. Stay with us.